When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
From the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right, and Adrian. Handoff, Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle, across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10, touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the clock speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not gone to check it out, you should absolutely go on the South Harmon website and go to the lab. The lab is going to help you analyze where your teams are at, and the best part is that it was produced by one of the guys here on South Harmon. So if you want to take a look, see how your teams are faring in all of your leagues, go to the-lab.southharmonff.com. It's as simple as that. In order to get to take a look at that league manager, your trade history, or to check your lineups. That's going to be important because this week's topic is all about prepping for playoffs. We are rapidly approaching the time in the season where people start to have trade deadlines and where trading is at an absolute peak. You need to be able to take advantage of this in your leagues. So what I wanted to do was go back and give a little bit of data so that way you can be reminded to go and double check your leagues. Going back all the way to episode number 5 of this podcast, I talked about trade windows. In those, I found that in any given league, trading reaches an absolute peak right before its trade deadline, or in the playoffs if there is not one. Well, the important number to remember is that 39% of your leagues have a week 11 trade deadline. We're in week 10 right now. Only 5% of leagues have a trade deadline in week 10. That means you have about a week and a half to get trades done. That's it. You are not going to get any other trades done at that point. So if you're a contender, you might want to start looking now to make sure you're the first one at the table, or at the very least, that you have some input before somebody snap accepts somebody else's trade. Speaking to a little bit of psychology here, you know that if you are sitting there and you don't have any offers, somebody sends you a solid offer for a player that maybe they're older, or somebody that you think is a little overpriced, and so you're willing to offload them for fair value. You're just going to go, I've got an offer in hand right here, let me accept this trade offer, and let's send that player to the other manager. Well, the problem results in, what if somebody else was willing to pay more? Or what if you were another competing contender, you were thinking about going to get that player, but you hadn't gotten to the table yet? That's where the importance comes in of just being on that other manager's radar. Having them be aware that, hey, I want this guy too. I'm willing to either ask you about him by sending a message. I'm willing to send a trade offer and say, hey, is this close to what you would accept? Like, do you need to make any changes? Are you looking for something different? Because if I know I have that, if I get a trade offer from somebody else, I'm not going to snap accept that trade offer. I'm going to come back to you and say, hey, this is what I would need to get it done. If you say no, you push back at all, then yeah, I'm going with the other offer I had. But I'm at least going back to you and giving you that opportunity. Most people are like that. Most people in our leagues want to be good trade partners to their league mates. And I hope you want to be good trade partners to your league mates too. Because there's only 11 other people in that league. If you're a bad trade partner and you cause three people to no longer be interested in trading with you, you've literally boxed yourself out of 25% of that league. You've boxed yourself out of 25% of the total player market that you could have available to you. That's obviously not something you want to do. So the best way to make sure that nobody's getting any ill will is to be upfront and say, hey, I'm interested in these players. And maybe that's not just talking to an individual manager about an individual player. It's utilizing the league chat, utilizing the fact that you can say to all the other managers, hey, this guy's on the trade block. I am looking for this position in return. And it allows everyone else to know that when they see a trade offer hit their inbox, that, hold on a second, I know that this other guy, this Koopa guy, he said that he was wanting to trade away this player and he was wanting a wide receiver like this in return. Well, let me go double check he doesn't want this guy first before I take this other offer. Those sorts of things are what's important in making sure you have that rapport with your league mates. The other thing to remember is that most trades are getting done at this time. If you have been kind of struggling with motivation here this season, it's been kind of dragging on a little bit for you. Now's the time that you need to come back and you need to buckle down. You need to say, okay, I know I am a dynasty manager. I need to be available during all parts of the season because this is the part that has the most direct effect on your chances of winning the championship. This is the part where you can get a lot of trades done. And if you are a contender, you can immediately turn that into points for your team to try and win that title. But if you are not that contender, if you're somebody rebuilding, this is the time where you can turn those points that are on your team into value that you can utilize next year. The important thing is that you're able to convert between this differing points versus value kind of ideas right now. This dynasty value fugazi thing that we've got going on of like, oh, this guy's got more value because, you know, he's young, or we believe he's got a bunch of talent. He just doesn't have the quarterback that is trying to throw him the ball, or he doesn't have the weapons that he needs to throw to, or he doesn't have the offensive line he needs in order to have a strong running game. All that kind of stuff doesn't matter right now to probably half the teams in your league. So what that means is that that player, if they're not performing, their value is down in the dumps. Those are the kinds of guys you can go get now, and you can give that contender somebody who is performing better. Somebody who, yeah, right now, they probably have more value because they're putting on more points out on the field. But they don't care about what he's going to look like in February, March, April, all that time frame where we're just wondering, all right, who's going to do good next year? Who's got that hype behind them? If you know you have those guys that don't have hype, now is the time where you are actually going to be able to cash out on some of those guys. So you need to be willing to go in and manage your team and make sure that you are available as a trading partner to the rest of your league. The other reason I'm bringing up this topic right now and not talking about it next week is because the days that most trades are done are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Right when everybody has finished the previous week, they're starting to look forward to the next week. They go, oh, you know what? I need to make some trades. I need to bolster this roster. You have less of a chance of getting your trades done Saturday if your trade deadline ends that following Monday. You want to be out there on the market talking with everybody earlier in the week. Lastly, for those teams that are contenders, we need to talk about what your goals are for this season. Look at your team. look at its schedule. What is a realistic outcome right now based on the points that you are putting out there with your current roster? Is your team one that's going to be able to reach a first round bye? If so, you want to maximize those chances as much as possible. Just simply getting from third place to second place gives you the absolute highest difference in your chances to win a championship over literally any other difference between two back-to-back positions. And yes, that is including the difference between missing the playoffs and making the playoffs. So if that is the case, then you want to really focus in on those teams that are in danger of finishing third or could potentially make that push into second place as long as you win out your remaining matchups. In all of my teams where I'm competitive in them, I'm looking at my remaining matchups this season. I'm looking at who am I playing here in weeks 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, and making sure that, hey, am I going up against somebody who I'm directly competing with, where maybe we have the same record and our points four are pretty close together? Well, that matchup that we play each other is one that I need to make sure that I win. So when it's coming to that week, that is one I'm going to focus on. Okay, you know what? Those 1 week rental players, they're going to be worth it for this. Usually, you don't want to necessarily blow some capital at those 1 week players before you get to the playoffs. But if it's that difference between me getting the second seed versus the third seed, it's worth it for me to blow that on that week, blow some of that capital, so that way I can solidify that win, or at least get myself much better odds of doing so. So those are the two main things that you need to be doing right now in terms of this prep for playoffs. First thing, making sure you're available. And if you've been kind of coasting a little bit the past couple weeks because, all right, football's been going on a little bit, like it's been difficult in terms of like life, you got that initial rush, but you're like, okay, now I'm in kind of the slog part of the season. You need to not check out. You need to step in right now. It was probably easier in terms of the effect to your teams to check out earlier in the year and come back now. But this is the time that you need to be there. And then the second thing is to focus in on those teams that are going to be getting that first round bye. You want to make sure that if you can, you get them to there. Yeah, focus in on your teams that are in danger of finishing seventh as well. So that way you get into that six-man playoff. Or if you have a five-man playoff, make sure you're into that fifth seed spot. But having that first round bye is the huge difference maker. And it is something that you absolutely need to make sure that you have for your teams. It is the single highest difference of any position in all of the end of season standings, having a first round bye or not. And so if you are in a position to do that at this point in the year, if your team has told you, I am good enough to be battling for this, you want to make sure you bolster it so it's able to get there. That's it for the main topic this week. Now I want to go on to what players to spam this week in terms of getting that little bit of extra value or potentially trying to target some of those other teams. And then I'll move on to the tight ends don't matter segment. So my spams for the week, first one is Davis Mills for a third. Personally, I do not like selling a quarterback for anything less than a third, but I can understand Davis Mills is one of those guys that is the closest to being able to sell for a fourth as you can really get out of a backup quarterback. He's not the strongest backup quarterback. This Houston offensive line is really bad, and so we do not have high expectations for Davis Mills. We have not seen good things out of Davis Mills when he's had to fill in the past couple of years. And then who knows how long he's going to be staying around there in Houston to begin with. So I wanted to call out Davis Mills for a third, but while I personally won't be doing it, I can totally understand why you might be selling him for fourths. Rashad White for a second. Rashad White has been doing solid. Bucky Irving is still hurt. Getting out of Rashad White right now, while Bucky Irving is hurt, while you know Rashad White's value is going to fall again once Bucky Irving is back, it's just good value to do that. Go and check and see if you have any Rashad Whites sitting around on your teams, especially the ones that aren't competing, and go ahead and sell him for a second if he's there. In a non-tight end premium, Colson Loveland just had his first huge, big blow-up game. And that's the perfect time to turn around and sell for that first-round pick. I hope you did not spend the 107 on Loveland, or I know you are not going to listen to this advice. But if you were out there and you spent the 202 on Colson Loveland this past offseason, go ahead and try and turn that around for a first. Go see if you can find somebody who thinks that they're about to catch that end-of-season rookie fever out of the rookie tight end and be able to turn him into points on their fantasy team. I'm willing to take the bet against that, especially like even if I'm rebuilding or competing. There's a reason I say tight ends don't matter so much. And if I can get a first-round pick out of a guy, that is absolutely a win for my teams. The last one is Marcus Mariota for, in my mind, ideally 2/3, but I can understand selling for only 1. Reason is, Mariota's starting the rest of the year. With a quarterback that's starting the rest of the year, I prefer to not just sell for a single third. I'm a little bit more, I hold those quarterbacks closer to my chest, especially the backup guys. I play a lot more of the backup quarterback strategies. And so if I'm going to be doing that, I put a little bit more of a premium on those guys. And so as a result, for me, Marcus Mariota, I need multiple thirds in order to get rid of him. In a super ideal world, I can maybe send Marcus Mariota and a third for a second round pick, and maybe I can find somebody that's willing to take that gamble, especially if my third, they know it's going to be the 301 or 302 or something like that. If they think they're going to get to a championship off this, I mean, their second round pick might be the 212, and they've got Marcus Mariota to get themselves a championship, and all they did was they went back one spot in the draft. Like, that would be a huge win. But a lot of people have been stingier this year, so it's been a little harder to get those kinds of trades done. So, knowing that it's been harder this year, I can understand some people saying Marcus Mariota for a third, just straight up, just get rid of him. I'm not doing that because I think that the value of Marcus Mariota is higher than just a random third, especially for the fact that I could have Marcus Mariota for future seasons and have him for next year if Jaden Daniels gets hurt then as well. So those are my spam candidates for the week, and on to tight ends don't matter. So last week, I said Tanner Connor was who I was going with. As much as I thought about it Thursday morning, really wanted Dulcich and missed that free agency window. Well, it turns out Dulcich was in fact the guy that I wanted. Tanner Connor, he literally got himself no catches, 0 fantasy points, another goose egg in a row. So I'm going over to Dulcich. I don't really have any other options this week. The only options mentioned in Eric's waiver wire pod were Greg Dulcich and Luke Musgrave. And Luke Musgrave was too highly owned for this tight ends don't matter segment. He was owned at the number 46 rate last week. And so yeah, a bunch of people went out and they picked him up, but he was already too high for me to include him in. So, as a result, I'm kind of forced into switching over to Dulcich, and hopefully he's going to be able to do well this week and repeat what he did last week. The Dolphins did go ahead and release Tanner Connor, and so Julian Hill, he's been limited in practice this week. He's questionable for the game, so he's obviously still hurting from that ankle. And so I think that Greg Dulcich is a sneaky option to potentially end up with a bunch of snap share, and then also get a bunch of those targets like he did last week. That's everything that I have for this week. Make sure you're going out there, getting your teams ready for this playoff push, making sure you know where you stand in all of your leagues, and then making sure all your league mates know that you're available. Make sure that they know they should check in with you if they have a player they're thinking about selling, or that if they need some players, that they can come to you and get yours easily off of your team. As always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge, and I'll see you next week.